We touched down on milk prices on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, glad you could join in. Class 3 milk set a record high price last month. That's the milk that goes into making hard cheeses and cream cheese, other spreadable cheese. What does that mean for dairy farmers? And what's driving up the minimum price they get for their milk set by the Federal Milk Marketing Order Program? Join in on Market Conditions, 800-642-1234. Kevin Bernhardt is an agribusiness professor at UW-Platteville. He's also a farmer management specialist with UW Extension and the Center for Dairy Profitability. Kevin, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Very nice to be here. Good morning.
Good morning. And we also have Mark Stevenson with us, Director of Dairy Policy Analysis at the UW-Madison College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, leads the Center for Dairy Profitability. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, Kate. Glad to be here.
Mark, let's start with you. Why has the minimum price set for Class 3 milk spiked, and what should we be paying attention to here?
Well, those minimum prices from federal milk marketing orders are driven directly off a formula that's based on the value of the products made from it. So, for example, cheese and butter are input prices to determine what those farm milk prices are going to be. And those prices have been high. So we've seen record high prices at the farm level.
So what does inflation then that we're seeing across our economy have to do with the spike in these milk prices?
Well, to some extent, the inflation that we see at retail are, you know, being reflected back to the dairy farmer to some extent, but they're not retail prices that are used in those formulas, they're wholesale prices. But the whole supply chain has had input costs all the way up through the products that they're producing that have been rising as we've seen inflation rise. And unfortunately, I think there's probably more inflation to come. We usually are talking about the consumer price index, but if you look at the producer price index, you'll see that increase in inflation in that index has risen even faster. So that probably hasn't all been transmitted yet to the consumer.
Interesting. Kevin, let's bring in you here. First of all, what is the Federal Milk Marketing Order and how does it set prices for classes of milk?
Well, that's a good question back to Mark, really. But the Federal Milk Marketing Orders have been around for a long time. They've gone through several different iterations of changes in order reform. And we have the Farm Bill coming up here in another year. And there's already discussions for potential changes in the orders coming up this next year. But the orders are, again, Mark, you can speak to this better than I can, but there's several across the country. They are a way to set a regional milk price in a climate where at the beginning, at least, the nature of milk was hard to transport and so forth, and that's how they first got started. But they're the ones who are in charge of those formulas and gathering that information and ultimately coming up with what those minimum prices are.
It sounds like, Mark, that the Federal Milk Marketing Order lends some stability to milk prices, perhaps?
No, they really do, Kate. It's kind of like a deep rudder on a ship. You know, you're still going to get some movement out there, but it does provide stability. And I think it's also really important to remember that the federal order prices are minimum prices that plants that are regulated must pay. You're welcome to pay more. And in most cases they do. Those are over order premiums that are paid to dairy farmers. Those premiums have been shrinking. So even though this regulated minimum price has come up, the farm milk price, not quite by the same kind of percentage. So while it's still a good price time for farmers, it's maybe not as good as some folks may be imagining. Inflation is taking its toll, and we have had plants that have stepped out of regulation and have been paying what they can to get milk into the door of their plants.
Interesting. Mark Stevenson, Director of Dairy Policy Analysis at the UW-Madison College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. Kevin Bernhardt here, agribusiness professor at UW-Platteville and a farmer management specialist at Extension, talking about the milk prices that we're seeing for dairy farmers, what they're getting for their milk, what this means for consumers, ultimately. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Questions about these prices, how they're set. Questions about what you're seeing about the price of cheese as you go shopping at the store. Back to you, Kevin. So you have said that farmers should use these high prices to prepare for a future time when prices drop. What type of advice are you giving to farmers now?
Take advantage, have some fun and take advantage. We have a history, with any kind of prices, commodity prices really, and class three milk prices are the same way. There's a history of hitting peaks but those peaks tend to beget the following low as well. Now, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that we have good prices here for a long time to come and we have a good profit margins for a long time to come. I hope that happens, but history would give us a different signal there that at some point things will happen. People will respond, producers will respond, consumers will respond, and those prices will drop. If you look back through our history, going back to the mid 90s, we've had several cycles since then, and it tended to take about 14 months on average. When once you hit the peak month, about 14 months later, give or take, 6 months around that, you would hit the low. So if that history repeats itself, this is a great time for producers to get the business in order, to make those investments in technologies that are going to put them in a good place if indeed that low price does come in the future. If it doesn't, you're still better off. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when you're saying have a little fun, investments in technology, would that be in that category of having fun, doing things that you would say help the business, ultimately the bottom line, but they're not entirely necessary?
No, I wouldn't say they were not entirely necessary.
Okay.
I think it's your commodity business, you're always wanting to look at cost reduction. How can we be more efficient in production? How can we be more efficient with our costs? Now you have the opportunity potentially to invest in those technologies that are going to help you with your feed waste. Maybe come up with a way to work with your feed refusals that you might have. Looking at cow comfort, looking at health protocols, there might be new facilities, there might be new technologies that often may be too costly. But now there's a chance to invest in those things.
Oh, I wonder, like a digester, perhaps?
Yeah, digester, robots fall into that. You know, lots of labor-saving technologies. It might be facilities that help better with cow flow.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those things that, every farm is going to be different, of course. But whatever it might be that can take you to the next generation of cost efficiency, that's only going to help. When those prices fall, you're not going to be hurt as bad if your costs have already fallen as well.
But Mark, look at cost inputs here in these times of inflation. Like, you've got the feed for the cows, you've got the electricity in the barns, you've got the fuel, the rising cost of gas. When you compare the input costs, is that tempering the spike you see in prices?
Well, I think it is. And, Kevin brings up a good point about the high prices begetting lower prices. But that's usually been because high prices and real profitability is a signal to dairy farmers that just says the market wants more milk, more of your product. And usually farms respond, and, collectively, our tens of thousands of farmers across the country produce a bit more milk than the market actually needed. And that's not happening yet, even though these prices are high. I think that, you know, because input prices are also high, farms are being more cautious this time around, or they're just not able to get some of those inputs that would help them really expand. Heifers is a good example. We haven't produced as many heifers for replacements as we have in the past. So I'm not sure we're going to get quite as much of a surge in milk production. In fact, currently, the last several months, we've been below your earlier levels. So that's kept our markets tight and supported these higher prices.
Talking about the record high price of Class 3 milk, the shifting market conditions for dairy farmers, we have UW Dairy Policy Analyst Mark Stevenson here, UW Platteville Agribusiness Professor Kevin Bernhardt, also a farmer management specialist at UW Extension. Dairy farmers, join in on what you're experiencing with the swing, how this affects the bottom line of your farm operation. Cheese lovers, join in on dairy prices at the grocery store, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the market for milk used to make cheese, the implications on dairy farmers getting record high prices for their milk. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. As we discuss market conditions, there is that backdrop that Wisconsin has led the nation in recent years in farm foreclosures. Join in on prices in the dairy industry, 800-642-1234. Agricultural economist Mark Stevenson focuses on dairy markets policy at UW-Madison, directs the Center for Dairy Profitability, stays with us, along with UW-Platteville agribusiness professor Kevin Bernhardt providing analysis. They're here for about 9 more minutes. Kevin, let's just acknowledge that in recent years, Wisconsin has led the nation in farm bankruptcies. What impact does a price swing like this have on, you know, debt obligations, on risk management, on a farm operation's overall bottom line?
Sure. Yeah. You know, when we have the high price time, most everybody is making money, right? So that is not where the problem is. The problem is going to be when and if those prices were to swing down, especially if the input prices stay sticky. And we end up in those negative profit margins. Some of the higher cost producers are going to struggle when that happens. If that continues for too long, that's when the bankruptcies or the decisions to get out of the business start to take place. And we end up having that exit from the industry. Now, that happened in those years, 2015 to 2018, in part because those low prices lasted for a long time over the course of those 4 years, and people just could not, some folks just could not keep up with that. Their current facilities just didn't support it. And so you will tend to have that exit from the industry whenever you have those poor profitability times.
Mark, jump in here, your thoughts.
Well, we've certainly seen loss of dairy farms. We saw quite a few farms that exited the business, not all of them for financial reasons per se. I mean, by that, I mean, they weren't necessarily driven out because of their dire circumstances, but because they were at a decision point. Our farmers are also becoming older, and we haven't replaced them quite as much. And, you know, if your farm is at a point where it needs to reinvest in those long-term assets, that farms have, then it's a decision point. Do we continue as an operating dairy farm, or do we sell our cows and maybe raise feed for a larger farm nearby that wanted our cows? So we've been seeing those kind of transformations happening across the countryside. We're still producing more milk than ever.
Major life decisions there. I want to talk about producing more milk, because just recalling back to the beginning of the pandemic and that oversupply of milk at the start of COVID causing farmers to dump like 25,000 gallons of milk daily. And we saw those images. So as you think back to that time, Mark, what does the supply chain for dairy products look like now compared to then?
Well, it's had some lasting impacts, but those impacts that you were talking about that caused that milk dumping were really quite short term in nature and relatively small volumes of milk. It may sound like a big number, but it's a small portion of total supply. The industry did a huge pivot kind of behind the scenes, that the plants that were producing dairy products, mostly for out of home eating, restaurant chains or schools or, you know, institutions, overnight went from full bore to zero. And everybody staying at home had to sneak out to the grocery store and buy their food and not eat out of the home. So it wasn't easy to get products made and into retail stores in the plants that were supplying them. But we did it. And, you know, it was a huge disruption to the industry, but the industry did it. So that was partly also because dairy farms voluntarily reduced milk production. Mm-hmm. They were asked to do so and they did it.
Kevin, what are those lessons learned from that massive supply chain pivot that you've talked about with farmers?
Well, there's a lot of lessons learned, but I think one of them that we can take away from that is the importance of risk management. So, you know, this was the pandemic was a black swan event. We certainly don't expect that to happen in a regular way. However, some kind of risk raises its ugly head every single year in some way or fashion. So that is something that dairy producers need to prepare for as well, whether it's a change in prices, whether it's something that happens in the supply chain that causes problems with being able to access their selling their milk, whatever it might be, there's always something out there that's going to be unexpected. And so they must prepare for that. And that involves making sure their debt level is in a good position, that they can access lending if they have to, that they have good working capital available in the business to meet those risks when they come, as well as being prepared with various insurance and price risk management tools and so forth.
Talking about the dairy industry, the milk prices with Kevin Bernhardt there, agribusiness professor at UW-Platteville. Mark Stevenson, director of dairy policy analysis at the UW-Madison College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Well, you know, I want to run this by you. As the dairy industry competes against these plant-based beverages, you know, this has been going on for decades. There's that tension around the, you know, right use of the term milk. What are the long-term implications that you see with milk alternatives on the industry? And Mark, you first.
Well, you know, the industry has been changing over a long period of time. You know, back in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, when I was young, we drank a lot more milk. That was just a habit that people had. We had indication from the government that was good for us. And we've had no indications that it's been bad, but there's been a perception that plant-based foods may somehow be more friendly. And we've seen some consumers pivoting, but a lot of folks have just changed from a dairy-based diet to something else. However, what's happened mostly is that we've changed from drinking our dairy to eating our dairy. Cheese consumption is way up, yogurt consumption is up, butter consumption is up. So we're eating more solid dairy products and drinking less.
Interesting. Kevin, your thoughts there?
Well, you know, competition is not always bad, right? So as those different kinds of products are coming into the market and the dairy industry has to learn to compete against those, let the consumer know what the advantages are of dairy products, that may have some positive long-term impacts for the industry. And the other thing to think about too is, you know, if I'm a farm management specialist for the almond industry, then I think this is great to have almond milk, right? Farmers are of different kinds. We happen to be on the supporting the dairy farmer, and we would like to see them compete. I think that the dairy industry is going to be able to compete very well with the products that they have, that they're able to put together against the other alternatives that are out there.
Well, Mark and Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Mark Stevenson, Director of Dairy Policy Analysis at the UW-Madison College of Agricultural and Life Sciences, leads the Center for Dairy Profitability. Kevin Bernhardt is an agribusiness professor at UW-Platteville, farmer management specialist as well with UW Extension and the Center for Dairy Profitability.